You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm Johnny Cash. That's one of the best movies, Tim. The Johnny Cash one, Walk the Line. I've been listening to a lot of Johnny Cash lately, and I don't know why, but it's just he's been in my my playlist for the last week or so. Very good musician. Anyways, thanks for joining us. I'm John Scott. This is Tim Wurzberger, and you're listening to Dropping the Gloves. What's up, Tim? You look like you're just dying to say something.
No, I like Johnny Cash too. I just listened to a podcast on him last week and I was thinking about that movie and it is really good. And I was also thinking about how Joaquin Phoenix is, where'd you put him? The top five actors alive right now? Actors, like active.
Is he alive? He's alive.
Yeah. Cause yeah, Joker, Gladiator.
He's got to be up there. He's really good. And he was really good in that movie too. That was, if you haven't seen it, go and get that movie. Walk the Line. Start to finish. Just, you're crying, you're fired up, you're engaged, you're entertained, you're laughing. It's just every emotion they touch on in that movie. It's a good movie. Elvis makes a cameo. Elvis has a new movie coming out. Did you see that? The Elvis biopic or the movie about Elvis?
They're doing a bunch of those now. There's a ton in the works.
I feel like they're just trying to recapture the Johnny Cash one. It's not the guy who plays Elvis. It looks like he's got Botox injections all over his face and he looks weird. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way he looked because I saw the preview. I went and saw Father Stu with Mark Wahlberg, which just was, it has too much swearing in it for my, you know, my taste. It was an okay movie. I wouldn't see it again, but we saw it. And they did a preview of the Elvis thing. And the whole time I was distracted, I'm like, Elvis looks terrible. It looks like he's got Botox injections all over his face. I couldn't concentrate on the actual story and it just ruined it for me. It's like, does everybody just get plastic surgery all the time now? Everybody looks weird in Hollywood. So I don't know, whatever. Moving on. There was a lot of action that happened last night, Tim. A lot of solidifications. The crystal ball became a little more clear as who's in the NHL playoffs, who's not making the playoffs. I think we can firmly say we got the 16 teams that are going to make the playoffs. I think Vegas, biggest collapse in most recent history of an NHL team that had such high expectations. I don't want to hear the injuries, blah, blah, blah. Other teams have had injuries. The Penguins get just ravaged with injuries every single year. So I don't want to hear people saying, well, there was injuries all year long. That's why they didn't make the playoffs. They play in the worst division in hockey, the Pacific Division. They had that benefit of playing those terrible teams. They should have found a way. They should have found a way to win hockey games. They didn't. This is one of the biggest flops, letdowns, just choke jobs from a whole NHL team in recent memory. I can't think of a team with higher expectations that didn't even make the playoffs. Like maybe the Montreal Canadiens winning the Stanley Cup or going to the Stanley Cup finals and missing this year. But that was a fluke last year. Who has missed the playoffs? That was a bigger, you know, expectations, Tim. Come on.
Why aren't the Islanders talking about that way? They were an Eastern Conference final. This is the team that people had marked, like finally beaten Tampa Bay, taking it to the maybe a deep cup run this year. No one's talking about them.
I think they just, for whatever reason, have been garbage all season long. The Vegas Knights went out and they got Jack Eichel. They made that splashy trade. This was the year for them. And I think there's just so many good teams in the East. People just forgot about the Islanders. There were so many talking points. It's like, well, gosh, Carolina's having a good year. Florida's picked up a lot of good players. Toronto, this is your year to get over the hump. Tampa Bay, maybe they win three in a row. And then the Islanders just got lost in the shuffle. But when you look out west, it's like, okay, Colorado, they're always good. Where's Vegas? Where are they? They were Colorado's just kind of Batman and Robin, or who's Batman's nemesis? Mr. Freeze or Joker? We should say Joker. Mr.
Joaquin
Freeze.
Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix. So they were Colorado's team that they had to get by to make the Stanley Cup Finals. And all of a sudden, you look at the standings. Holy moly, what a letdown. So, yes. They played the Dallas Stars last night in almost a deciding game. Whoever would have won that game would have been in really good position to make the playoffs. Dallas ekes it out in a shootout. Vegas whimpers in a loss. once again, they had their whole cast of players. Lehner wasn't there. Logan Thompson still played pretty good. They still couldn't get it done. Dallas Stars win. Dallas makes the playoffs. And away we go. What else is going on, Tim? What are we talking about today?
Well, yeah. So there's a bunch of scenarios that kind of, like you said, the crystal ball got more clear. There's really only one spot up left for grab. So a couple other big ones. The LA Kings clinched. And officially, you're going to play the Edmonton Oilers in the first round, which we all knew was going to happen. I think that'll be a fun matchup to keep an eye on.
You think that'll be a fun matchup? You could honestly sit here with a straight face and lie to our listeners right off the bat and say that'll be a fun matchup.
Any matchup that has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl is going to be a fun one to watch. I don't care how you slice it.
But I don't think saying the Kings are a fun matchup with them. I think this is going to be... it'll be a one side of the fair. I think the Edmonton Oilers are just, they're tickled pink that they get to play the LA Kings in the first round. So to say this is a fun matchup, Tim, that's a little bit much. You know, the Edmonton Oilers, they'll be the home team. They'll get the benefit of not having to travel initially. They'll hopefully win the first two games at home, go to LA, maybe split, then come back home and finish it up for game five. It's going to be a quick series. I think Edmonton is going to outmatch the LA Kings.
That is on my short list for upset in round one, that matchup right there. I haven't decided yet. I'm not there yet, but that one's, I got that in my eye. It's circled on the calendar.
Really? Well, it's tough to really pick an upset in the first round, the way the matchups are set. The only upsets could be if a wild card team beats a first round team, because the other four matchups, I could see any team winning. Minnesota, St. Louis, yes. Edmonton, LA, not so much. But Rangers, Pittsburgh, and Toronto, Tampa Bay. Any one of those teams, I would not be surprised if they come out with a W. But I think where you're going to have to do an upset, Tim, to really, you know, move the needle, a wild card team has to win. You got to pick one of those teams if you're going to really go out on a ledge. You can't just say, ooh, upset, LA beats Edmonton. It's not going to cut it on dropping the gloves, Tim. It's not. You got to bring more than that to the table.
You just called it a one-sided affair, and now you're saying it's not an upset if the other team wins.
It won't be, because they're so, like, they finish within 4 points of each other. It's not an upset. No, you got to pick a wild card over a first round, Tim.
I think that would be a bigger upset than Bruins over Carolina.
Are you crazy? Carolina's got 114 points.
They don't have a goalie.
Do you not watch hockey? Antti Ranta's on the mend. Freddie Anderson said he'll be back. Their goaltender issues are cured. It took 2 days and they're back in business. They're back. And they don't even need a goalie. They beat the Rangers the other night just quite decisively. So decidedly.
So Tim, are you telling me that you think it's more likely that the Hurricanes will beat the Bruins than the Oilers will beat the Kings?
No, I'm not saying that, but I don't. What I'm saying is, if you want to pick an upset, you can't just pick the LA Kings and Edmonton Oilers being an upset, because they're so close in points. They're separated by 4 points. The Hurricanes and the Bruins are separated by 10. So I think a bigger upset would be the Boston Bruins beating the Carolina Hurricanes when the Hurricanes are, you know, a stone's throw away from being the President's Trophy. Whereas the LA Kings beating the Oilers, I don't think is that big of an upset.
Do you even believe what you're saying?
I do. And okay. I think it's the truth. Every 2-3 matchup, I don't think is an upset. It's just like going into March Madness, be like, upset alert, 9's going to beat 8, upset alert. It's like, no, you got to pick a 15 over a 2. You can't just, it's upset, circle this one. Tim, come on. We're better than that. I'm just teasing. I just want to give you a hard time today. I do. What can I say? I'm in one of those moods. What are we doing? So the LA Kings clinched. They're playing Edmonton in the first round. What else do we know about the Western Conference, Tim?
Yeah, another team clinched last night. The Nashville Predators clinched, even though they lost in overtime to the Flames, just the way that it worked out. And that's likely the first round matchup. It's not 100% set in stone yet. There's a couple of good things to pull off in that game. There's some hatred there. Lucic was on all cylinders last night. That big hit he threw on, I forget on who, on the Duchesne board.
Duchesne. Oh.
Yeah.
buried him. Keep going, but I got a lot to talk about this series if it comes to fruition.
Yeah, and then he fought Borowiecki and beat him pretty good too. I'm sure I butchered that name. But there's some bad stuff. Bad news came out of that game. But before I get into that, what's your take here?
If this series happens, if this is a first round matchup, this will be must watch hockey. These two teams are built very similar. I think top to bottom, Calgary is better than Nashville in every single way. Their first line is better. Their second line is better. And down the line, they're built very similar where they have very physical fourth lines, very physical third lines. They don't back down. They have defensemen who can throw their weight around and they play the game the same way. They play a heavy type of hockey game. They lean on you. They try to intimidate you and they try to win the game by punching you in the face, throwing the puck in the corner and going and getting it. Like I said, Calgary's better at every aspect of that. But the game that we saw last night, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Nashville came out. They tried to assert themselves. Calgary pushed back. There was a little matchup between Tkachuk and someone else. I can't remember who he was stick swinging with. Lucic and Borowiecki came out to let the dust settle to figure things out. Lucic, he's a tough customer. If he brings it all these playoffs the way he brought it last night, and he's been having a good year, Lucic, I'll give him that. He's kind of resurrected his career. I think he's embraced the fourth line role where maybe a couple years ago he was still in the thinking of, look, I'm a second line guy. That's where I belong. And he really couldn't swallow the pride a little bit to maybe embrace being a fourth line guy, only getting 7 to 10 minutes a game and making an impact that way, fighting a little more, maybe getting in on the forecheck and hitting a little more than he had in years prior. He's been playing some of his best hockey this year. And you saw it last night. He had a good assist. He beats the doors off Mark Borowiecki, who was one of the toughest guys in the league. He's a gamer. He's getting in on the forecheck. He buries Matt Duchene. He was a difference maker on the fourth line, getting limited minutes. That was the perfect game for Milan Lucic. And if these two teams play like that in the playoffs, it's going to be fun. It's going to be very, very fun. But like you were alluding to, the bigger news coming out of this game, the Nashville Predators, one of their MVPs. I will say Roman Josi, he is the biggest MVP on this team, but very closely behind him is Juuse Saros. He went down. And how does it look coming into Nashville news on Juuse Saros?
It doesn't look good. And it's funny too. You compare the matchups. So like, okay, Calgary's better up front. Defense is closer. We might give that to Predators maybe. And goalie's really close too. I mean, Markstrom and Saros, both two of the top five goalies in the league, but Saros got hurt last night. Left in the third period, couldn't put any weight on his left leg going down the tunnel, which is not good for a goaltender. No reports yet, but the reaction last night on Hockey Twitter wasn't good. And he's having the best season of his career. Like, he's got 38 wins, .918 save percentage, less than 3 goals against per game. Like, he's doing really, really well. He's been an elite goaltender all season. How bad is this for the Predators? Is this like if he's out, is this a death blow for them? Do they have any chance?
You know, they didn't have much of a chance, even with Juuse Saros. But when you lose him, it's tough. It really is tough. Yes, they were smart. They went out and got Dan Riddick, who has been a starter in this league. And oddly enough, he was with the Calgary Flames. He has history with the Flames. So that could be, a little revenge factor for him. He wants to prove himself that maybe Calgary should have kept him instead of letting him go when they let him and Mike Smith go. They were the tandem there at the time. But I don't think you can overcome this. Juuse Saros, he is a Vezina candidate. He is a top-tier goaltender. He has kept them in a lot of games this season. And he makes up for what mistakes Nashville makes. They don't make many. They're a very well-coached, well-disciplined team, much like the Calgary Flames. But he does make some highlight reel saves sometimes, and he is a good goaltender. So, yeah, this is it. This is – if there ever was a chance, they needed UC playing his best. So, if this is a matchup, I don't know if Dallas overtakes Nashville. This changes the matchups altogether. But if it stands today, they play Calgary. I don't see – them winning this series. I do think they'll win a couple games just because they're a good team and they match up well with Calgary. But I don't see them winning 4 in this matchup. No.
Yeah, it's too bad. I hope he, you know, he's not up for any length of time. And I was just thinking about like what a treat it is to, because when you have a franchise goaltender who's setting all these records, who's an elite goaltender for 10, 15 years in Pekka Rinne, you're not supposed to have another elite goaltender right away. Like, it doesn't usually work like that. And it's got me thinking about all these franchises that have kind of lucked out or drafted well, scouted well, developed well, with the Predators with Rene and Saros, the Penguins with Fleury, Matt Murray, and Tristan Jarry. Matt Murray, you know, kind of hasn't been dumpy the last couple of years, but he won him a cup. Bruins, Tim Thomas, Vezina two-time, going to Rask for 12 years, and then potentially Swayman right now. Rangers, obviously Lundqvist, then go right into Shesterkin as soon as he retires. And other franchises go decades, it seems, without finding their guy. You got the Oilers not really getting a goaltender. The Flyers, potentially Carter Hart, but not looking good anymore. The Leafs, the Sharks. Is this like a stroke of luck? Is our team just that much better at drafting? Like, how does it – that's just the way it works out sometimes? What do you think?
No rhyme or reason. I don't know if they have a good goaltending coach or whatever the reason is, but it is kind of striking when you look at the franchise goaltenders who stick around for a long time. Like, Rene was there for a good decade. Saros will be there for another 5-6 years. Same thing with the Penguins. I don't know. I know there's good goaltending coaches. I know there's bad goaltending coaches. I work with the goaltending coaches a lot. I'm using present tense like I'm a somebody anymore. But I, you know, they would grab me to do shots before practice, after practice, just because I was the extra guy. And you can tell who is a good, you know, goalie coach. You can tell the way they interact with the goaltenders, the drills that you do. The bad ones, they just, you know, shoot from the slot, you know, and then shoot from here, shoot from there. The good ones, they talk to the goalies. You're moving around. They're working on their angles. They're working on this and that. They're trying to improve their game, their glove position, their blocker position, this and that. And they must have a good goalie coach with the Rangers. You know, Lundqvist wasn't a high prospect when he came out. He wasn't this prize player. And yes, he had to work at his game, but he made himself into a Hall of Fame goaltender. The same thing with Rene. When he came out, he wasn't this, you know, prize. And who knows? Maybe they just relate bloomers. I don't know what it is, but it is a luxury to be able to plug and play a goaltender 60, 65 games a year. I know you're getting a grade A goaltender every single time without having to worry about, you know, is he going to be good this night? Is he going to be bad this night? It's a luxury. And you see the teams that fail. You see the teams that – and this goes against my mantra of what it takes to win a Stanley Cup. You need strong down the middle, good on the back end, and not a really high-end goaltender. You need a goaltender who's serviceable. You need a goaltender who's going to stop the puck when he's supposed to stop the puck. That's all you want at the end of the day. You don't want a guy to let in a beach ball. That's all coaches care about. If you get beat on a 2-on-1, so be it. You can't let a leaky puck through you. You can't let a puck that's from the blue line completely, you know, straight at you without any screens or anything going. You have to save the shots that need to be saved. So these guys are that. And what more can you ask for, Tim? But yes, to go back to your point, it is funny. It is funny. And how much would a team like the Flyers or the Leafs or the Oilers die to have a guy that they can just put in the net and say, okay, we're good. We don't have to worry about anything. They're paying guys to do that. Carter Hart's got a big fat contract. He can't do it. It's not like they haven't been trying. And then the Leafs, they had Freddie Anderson. They let him go to Carolina, and all of a sudden, Carolina, he's the guy. I said it before the Leafs. I said they should have never let him go. He was a good player. He was not the problem on that team. He never was, and he got blamed for a lot of stuff that was nothing that he could control. Nothing at all. Nothing, Tim.
They traded a few players you told them not to, but
stupid Leafs. Jake Gardner.
Anyway, so
I can't wait till Jake gets his ring. Kadri. The amount of players that they've traded who have gone on to success, it's a laundry list of players.
What else? Okay. So speaking of the Hurricanes, they clinched the Metro last night with a win over the Rangers. So more than likely, like 90%, they're going to play the Bruins in the first round. There's a couple scenarios in which the Bruins won't finish worse than first in the wild card. They could end up jumping over the Lightning. But most likely not. And so, yeah, we'll likely see that matchup. And the Bruins actually had a good statement win over the Panthers last night. 4-2 with an empty net goal, looked really, really good. And the Caps lost, failed to make that ground, which separated that divide. And so, yeah, the Bruins and the Lightning kind of fighting for that last spot.
Yeah, Lightning will be in the top three in the Atlantic. The Bruins are in the wild card. If I'm the Bruins, I don't want to get into the third position in the Atlantic. Why would I? That means I have to play the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round. And then if I get by them, I got to play the Panthers. No thanks. No thanks. I'd rather play the Carolina Hurricanes in the first round and then deal with the Rangers or Pittsburgh. That's where I want to be. I think when you look at the different divisions in the Eastern Conference, I think the Atlantic has the juggernaut teams. You got Florida, Toronto, Tampa Bay. Those three teams to me, a little scary. When you look at the Metro, there's some question marks on every single team. Carolina, goaltending, who knows what's going to happen there. Forwards, not very proven. Maybe you can push them around a little bit. Rangers, very young team. Very, very young team, unproven in the playoffs. Panarin just got injured. He's up in the air. Pittsburgh, old veteran team, bad defense. So every team has question marks in the Metro. So if I'm the Bruins, I'm just like, I'm good. I'm good, bro. I'll stay right where I am. Washington's not going to catch me. I don't want to catch Tampa Bay. I have the easiest path possible to make the Stanley Cup Finals is right where the Bruins are sitting. And so I think they played this, not that they did this by design, but I feel like they're good with their position. They've proven they can compete with the top teams. Like you said, they beat Florida, they've beaten Tampa Bay, they've beaten all these teams. They just have to go out there and they have to be consistent. You have to make sure that your secondary cast is good. You got to make sure Taylor Hall's playing well. Hall is playing well. DeBrusque can keep up with those guys. Other than that, I think we're all set. You know, they went out. Is Lindholm back? Is he back, Tim? I don't know.
He's not, but he's close. They're not rushing him.
So if you get him back, they're a dangerous team. They're a really dangerous team. And Carolina right now, somewhat limping. Not really. They've been playing okay. Their top guys haven't been scoring of late. Their third line's been carrying them a little bit down the stretch. If their top guys can kind of maybe pick it up a little bit, the Svechnikov, the Aho, the Jarvis. Well, I don't want to say Jarvis. Jarvis has been on fire. Like, absolutely. Remember I said that about 2 months ago? I said, watch this young kid, Seth Jarvis. He's going to be the guy on this Carolina Hurricanes team. I think at that point, he was on the third or fourth line. Fast forward to now. I don't want to say I told you so. He's on the first line. He's carried this team for the last couple of months. He's been unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. What are you shaking your head, Tim?
No, I'm nodding. I'm nodding in affirmation. I remember you saying that.
He's been really, really good. So if they can get Aho maybe back up to speed, I don't know what's wrong with him. Tuivo Teravainen has slowed a little bit, but Nino Niederreiter, say that name three times fast. Jordan Staal and Jesper Fast, they've been good. And you throw Derek Stepan in the fourth line center role where he's customarily been a first line centerman. They got a good third and fourth line. So they need to get those first two lines up to speed. Then they'll be really dangerous, but that's their question mark. Who knows how those first two lines are going to perform in the playoffs. So if I'm the Bruins, I'm liking my matchup versus the Hurricanes for whatever reason. I think I have a better first line. I think I have a better second line. And then it comes down to the third and fourth line. You know, can Charlie Coyle be the difference maker on the third line? Thomas Nozick, not backing down from Char the other day. I like that. Getting in his face. But, you know, can those guys really make a difference in the playoffs? Nick Foligno, maybe right the wrong that happened when they got him and spent so much to get him. So I like the Bruins. I like them a lot. You got Lindholm and McCoy. Whatever it is, Tim. Whoever they play, they're going to be a tough out, especially if they play the Hurricanes. That could be a huge upset. That could be a very big upset in the Eastern Conference. What else are we doing?
So the last one that we want to touch on, we mentioned a little bit already, the Vegas lost in a shootout again.
But good riddance. Good.
They're not out of it yet. They're not.
They're done. They're stick not. A fork. So listen, they're done.
Both them and Dallas have 80 games played. Dallas has 95 points. They have 91, which means, you know, if Dallas wins out and Vegas loses, Dallas – sorry, the other way around. If Vegas wins out, Dallas loses both games. Vegas has a tiebreaker because they have more regulation wins.
It's not going to – I don't want to waste much breath on this. It's never going to happen.
You don't know. The thing is, though, Dallas plays Arizona tonight. Yeah, and all Chicago. They need is 1 point.
Yeah, so they'll get 1 point tonight at least. If then they play Chicago. Tim, no, we're not doing it. They're going to lose. When I get upset like this, I need some food and I use DoorDash. It calms me down when I get fired up, and the listeners can tell I'm getting worked up. So let me just pull out my phone, order DoorDash, and get myself some comfort food. It'll be here in 20 minutes because DoorDash is one of the fastest food delivery services in the world. They really are. If you want it fast and you want it hot, use DoorDash. And guess what, Tim? They get a little cherry on top of that dessert, you get a little money off if you use our promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in Traverse City, Michigan, or the United States as a whole. If you're in Canada, use GlovesDD. You get the same deal, 25% off free delivery. It's an unbelievable deal. It's a fantastic company. Tim uses them. I use them. And I especially use them when Tim just says all these asinine things and I get so worked up and I'm like, do you even know what you're talking about, Tim? There's no way Vegas is going to make that eighth seed. It's just, let's just don't fool the fans.
I'm just build saying, it up, the math is there. Knock them. You're a math guy, John.
No, I'm also a realist. So use DoorDash. Fill your tummy. Go ahead.
When you were getting chirped for being the fourth line grocery stick that you were, did anyone ever do the sign stick chirp to you? Offer to sign a stick for you? What's Matthew that? Tkachuk last night was chatting, beefing with a rookie or a young guy on Nashville, and he offered to sign a stick for him as like he's a fan or something, or like he's a visitor. I thought it was a pretty good chirp.
It would have backfired on Matthew Tkachuk because I would have been like, yes, please get it to me after the game. I would really enjoy that. I was not too proud to ask players on the ice for autographs at times. Like, hey, man, love a stick after the game. Love that. So if Tkachuk was chirping, joke's on you, Matthew. We have a verbal contract. You owe me a signed stick, my friend. I'll see you after the game. Thank you.
Did anyone ever ask you for that before the All-Star game?
No, no, no. Nobody wanted anything of mine. No. Even like teammates, I would like have my sticks. Like, anybody want one? No, nobody. After the game, I was a little more popular. Don't get me wrong. I was getting a little bit more of a request. But yeah, you know what? I will take that back. The only guy who wanted a stick for me was George Parros. But I think it's because I wanted one from him, and he just felt like he needed to ask me for one. So I asked his trainer, I'm like, hey, can Georgie sign me a stick? And he had a cool stick. It was custom made. He had like a gold leaf mustache near the bottom of the stick. So it was really neat. And he signed it to me. We both played for the Chicago Freeze. Like, hey, John, two guys from the Freeze in the NHL. Cool. All the best, John. And then I just signed him one over. Yeah, you broke my nose in Florida a couple of years back. Awesome, John. So that was the only time someone wanted my stick. But yeah, like I said, I think it was more out of pity. He probably just threw it in the trash. As far as I know, he's, you know, gave it away to a fan, whatever. But no, Tim, no one's ever used that shirt. I know you're trying to bring me down. It's not going to work.
That's a pretty good one, though. Made me laugh.
Let's talk about I want to talk about the Avalanche. Now, we've been talking about the Western Conference quite a bit lately, just because there's been so much happening, a lot of shuffling of positions, a lot of unknown. Now that we have a solid eight, I think we can agree on that for the most part. Let's look at the team who's been at the top of the standings for the whole entire year. A team who started a little slow. They found their game, and they've just been light years ahead of every team in this conference. Until the last couple of weeks, the Avalanche have just, I don't want to say lost their game. Maybe they don't have the motivation that they had at the beginning of the year or in the middle of the year when they were trying to find their game. They've been skidding. They had a big win last night versus St. Louis to kind of right the ship a little bit. But in their last 10, they're 6-4. I think they just got off of four before the win last night versus St. Louis. They had gone four games without a win. Is this a concern for the Colorado Avalanche? They've the last few years failed in the playoffs epically. Sky-high expectations every single offseason. Joe Sakic is a master when it comes to, you know, contracts, attaining players, trades. We talked about the Nazem Kadri trade with Toronto. Totally picked their pocket with Tyson Berry. A lopsided trade, if you ask anybody. Are they coming down to earth? Is this just a prelude to Colorado just letting us down again in the playoffs?
Well, I think you could look at it the other way and say this is a team that probably learned from past mistakes, and they're conserving some, I don't know how you want to put it, conserving energy, conserving a little bit of how they play on the ice to save it for the playoffs. Because like you said, they've been a first or second round loss the last few years, which has been disappointing given the expectations for them. So now they're kind of learning, I hope, to say, okay, these last few games don't matter. We clinched our spot. We know where we stand. Let's save it for the games that do matter. So that's what I hope is going on. But they do look human. You said it the other day on last week's show. Is like they look human all of a sudden. We barely talk about it just because they're like an automatic top team in the league, automatic first spot. Don't even really need to talk about the story there, but They're there, and it's hard to say cup or bust is the destination for them when, for a group that hasn't made it out of the second round yet. But they're pretty close. Like, what does it have to take for them to not be a disappointment this postseason?
You have to make the cup finals. You have to. You've been one of, if not the best team in the regulation for years now. You've got President's Trophies banners hanging in your rink. Like, they jumped onto the scene in 2018. They lost in the first round, rightfully so. It was a young team, kind of surprising results. The next year, they win in the first round, great. They lose in the second round. The year after that, President's Trophy, win in the first round, lose in the second round. Last year, win in the first round, lose in the second round. You cannot keep doing this. And I know you say, well, they've learning from their mistakes. If they would have learned from their mistakes, they would have won 2 years ago or last year. I don't know. I don't know what else they have to do. They have to make it to the Stanley Cup. That's what they have to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They can't win one round or two round or make it to the Western Conference Finals. With the way the West is shaking out this season, with the amount of, I don't want to call them weak teams because there are strong teams. Minnesota's strong. St. Louis is strong. Calgary is strong. Everybody else is, they're noticeably a step behind. But Colorado is noticeably head and shoulders above all of those teams. When you look at the way they're made up, when you look at the salary, how they're constructed their team, they have a lot of good contracts. They have a lot of good players. They have to win this year. This is it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is the last team that'll have this group of talent. It's impossible to say that they can't get to the Stanley Cup Finals and say they have had a good season. They can't. They have to win it this year, Tim. There's no other way. They're going to lose Burakovsky after this year. They're going to lose Kadri after this season. They're going to lose Manson and Murray on the back end. They're not going to be able to keep all these guys. This is their season. That's it. I don't know if there's any other way to say it. If they don't win this team this season, they're a failure. I don't know how you can win this many President's Trophies and not even make it to the Western Conference Finals in the last couple of years to not be a failure. So there's a lot of pressure on them going into the playoffs. They have that history. They have that track record. They're the Toronto Maple Leafs of the Western Conference. They need to slay the dragon. They need to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. That's the only result that absolves them of the past 4 years. Whereas the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's a success for them. So that's my opinion.
So if they make it to the finals and they lose to a Tampa or Florida or something, you're not calling that a total failure.
That's a step in the right direction for them. I think that's obviously not what they wanted, but I think you can look back and say, okay, that was a successful team. You just want to get to the dance, you know, and just prove yourself versus the best. Right now, they lose in the second round every single year. So it's frustrating when you have this talent, when you have this potential, and it just goes absolutely nowhere. Like, it's frustrating because they have a great – on paper, they're the best team in hockey, in my opinion. Maybe them and Florida go back and forth. But when you have a back end that they have, guys that are potentially – like, Cale Makar might go down as the best defenseman in history if he keeps up this pace. That's not a stretch to stay. And you have a guy to ride shotgun in Devin Taves, who is a perfect complement to him. You got Samuel Girard, who does have defensive lapses, but he's a really good player. Josh Manson, they bring in to supplement his defensive weakness and to just be a good, solid rock to him. Their top four is better than any top four in hockey right now. Arguably. But then you look at their forward group. It's lights out. It's lights out, Tim.
So if they lose in seven in the Western Conference Finals to Calgary, that's a failure.
Failure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think Calgary has the expectations that Colorado has. Calgary could flame out in the second round. Yeah, it's a disappointing season, but no one expected them to be here. At the beginning of the season in the Western Conference, there was only two teams anybody was talking about. It was Vegas and Colorado, right? Who else? The Oilers had massive questions. Calgary was an unknown. They struggled last year. Everybody in California stunk. There was nobody else. Vancouver, maybe they would have a bounce back year. It was Vegas and Colorado. Vegas is gone. So this is their year. Like, this is it. If they can't get to the Cup Finals this year, I don't want to say heads need to roll because you can't fire Joe Sakic. He's built this team masterfully. He has superstars on this team making $7 million. He has superstars on this team making $6 million. Guys who should be getting paid $10, $11, $12 million in Landeskog and McKinnon. Like, their highest paid player is Mikko Rantanen, and he's the third best player on their team, maybe the fourth best player on their team. So yeah, it's this is it, man. It's do or die this year. And I'm even giving them the luxury of not having to win the cup. Just get there and it'll be a successful season, I think, for that team. So it's, gosh, if they lose, oh, it'll be terrible. All right, let's do some quick hits, Tim. Let's get out of here.
Matthew scored his 60th goal of the season last night, which is the first Leaf to ever do it. First time he's done it, obviously. Really, really cool. First time we've seen that in a while.
Yeah, I think the last time was Stamkos, over 10 years ago. So it doesn't happen that often, especially in today's, you know, salary cap era, defensive hockey, trap style of hockey. I think it's a big deal. 60 goals, and he even struggled out of the gate. Imagine if he was, you know, healthy, not dealing with that wrist injury, he'd be sniffing 70. So good for Matthews. He's a pretty good scorer. Not the MVP of the league, but he's a good scorer. So good for Austin Matthews.
Speaking of Stamkos, he had 100 points for the first time in his career. That surprised me. Did that surprise you at all?
It does. It does. From how he started his first 5, 6, 7 years, I would have expected him to have 100 every single year. But like we talked about a few weeks ago, the point totals of the NHL were so low when I came into the league. Like, some guy had 84 points and led the league in points 1 year. So it just
87, Jamie Benn. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess when you think about that, it's not surprising. But yeah, 100 points. I think there's going to be 10 guys this year who crack 100, which is a good sign for the NHL wanting offense. It's a trend in the right direction for Gary Batman, as Joe Biden would say.
You know, what's interesting. So Jamie Benn had 87 points in 14-15 season. You retire a year after that, and now guys, you got 20 guys are getting 100 points. I'm not saying – I know the difference between causation and correlation, but you're not in the league anymore. These numbers are being put up. There's something to be said for that, I think.
It could go both ways. It could be I'm not an offensive player, not giving these guys, you know, the puck in the right place. Or maybe I'm just extremely good at defense, Tim. I don't know. Maybe two things can be true at the same time. Maybe that's the case. Maybe I lack a little bit on the back end or the offensive side, but I'm just a dynamic defensive player. I like to think it's both.
Another record last night, although not a good one.
So many records.
The Blackhawks. Why don't you tell us about this one?
So, you know, it's not a record you want to be associated with. It's not a good one. So, the Chicago Blackhawks have played 80 games this season. 80 games, Tim. They've had, I don't even know how many power plays. They have not gotten a power play goal from a defenseman all season long. That's a remarkable stat. There's only one team in NHL history that has gone the whole season without getting a goal from their defense on the power play, and that was the Buffalo Sabres, I believe, in 1971-72, if my memory is correct. So it's been 50 years since this has happened, and the Chicago Blackhawks are knocking on the door. And Eric Gustafson was posed this question, I think, a couple days ago. Just a reporter saying, "Hey, Eric, have you heard this, you know, stat? What do you guys think?" And he's like, "We are talking about it as a defensive group. We actively talk about it. We do not want to have this record." And he said, "We're just going to fire everything on net, every single power play." And it's not like they don't have offensive defensemen. If my memory also serves me correctly, I think they pay one of their defensemen like $9.5 million, don't they? And wouldn't you think when you get a guy like that who'd be pretty good on the power play and just get you some points? I don't know. It's just me. I'm just spitballing. But they have, you know, Gustafson is a power play guy. That's what he's known for. They got Seth Jones. They got, well, I guess, Calvin DeHaan, not really. Jake McCabe, not really. Caleb, yeah, I don't know. They don't really have an offensively gifted defenseman, so that might be the reason for it. But not a good record to go down with. But, hey, it's a record all the same. So another one, chalk it up. Another record in the record books this year.
Well, another former Bruins kind of having this little resurgence this year with making his presence known on the ice, Chara, again last night. So the other day he was bullying the Carolina Hurricanes.
The whole team.
And then he had another incident too. What did he do last night?
He gets into it with somebody from – I don't even know who they played. I just saw the replay, and it was a guy who he fought. It was Nashville, wasn't it? No, gosh, pull it up for me, Tim. I don't even know who they played last night. It was Tremolin he got into it with. And Tremolin fought him a few years ago when he did pretty well versus him. So Chara saw the opportunity. Tremolin went in and kind of pasted somebody against the boards. And Chara came in and fought the guy, jerseyed him. They played the Capitals. But just, he's got to be in his bonnet lately, Zdeno Chara. He's been just a salty. Do you think he's trying to prolong his career? He hasn't mentioned anything about retiring, has he? Have you seen anything that he said this is his last kick at the can, he's done?
No,
I wonder if he's trying to send a message for next year for the Islanders saying, hey, I'm still useful. I'm still a physical presence. I can still move around here. He just scored his first goal for the Islanders, I think a couple weeks ago. Maybe he's making a push to get a new contract from Lou. We'll see. But he's still tough. Like he beat this guy up. He jerseyed him. The ref should have jumped in, by the way. Once the jersey's over the head, you step in right away. You have to stop that fight. But again, like I said, the visors, Chara hits him. The visor cuts the guy's eye. Who knows how deep it goes? Get rid of the visors. It does more harm than good in the fight. It's cutting guys' hands up. It's cutting guys' faces up. It's a bad idea. One of these times, mark my word, someone's going to throw a punch. The visor's going to crack. And someone's going to get stabbed in the eyeball. You heard it here first. It's going to be a bad ending. Or something else, someone's going to throw a punch. It's going to cut the tendon on their hand, and they're going to lose use of their hand somehow. You heard it here first. It's going to happen. Visors are a bad idea when you fight. Dangerous. Very, very dangerous. All right, one more quick point. Big part of the Leafs, Michael Bunting. Potential Calder Trophy candidate, having a great rookie season, even though he's 35 years old. He's hurt. And his status for the playoffs is questionable. He kind of got tangled up behind the net the other night in a game, twisted his knee. Doesn't look that bad. But after the game, Sheldon Keefe came out and he said, it's not looking great. I guess he woke up. He felt better. But something to keep an eye on. Everybody thinks of the Leafs. They think of, oh, they got Matthews. They got Marner. They got Nylander. They got Tavares. Bunting is a big part of that first line. I know he doesn't do a lot on the score sheet. Keep an eye on it, Tim. If he's out for a couple games, that's a big deal for them. Yes, Kerfoot can maybe slide in and limit the effect of him being out, but that affects your first line big time. It takes Kerfoot off the third line. It's a big deal if he's out. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on Saros. We'll keep an eye on the Carolina goaltenders' goaltending situation. You know what else we're going to keep an eye on? Points bet. Keep an eye on your bank account as it rises and increases because, Tim, he is – the master of the games being picked for money. Who are we winning money on tonight, Tim? Make me some money.
There's five games tonight. Let's do them all. You got the Flyers playing.
We're going to do it live, he said. We're doing it. We'll do it live.
Just read it off. What does that mean? Flyers against the Jets in Winnipeg.
Another just meaningless game. It's in Winnipeg. They're going to want to close out their season for the fans at home. Thank them for another failure of a season. The Jets are going to take this one, Tim. You got to give it to the Jets, right?
Yeah, I agree. Canadians against Rangers in New York. I kind of like the underdog in this one.
Not me. Rangers are playing for something. They want home ice advantage. I'm taking the Rangers all day in this one.
They won't get it. The Hurricanes have clinched. So
they've clinched first, but they want home ice for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I like.
So you think they're going to beat the Canadians?
I think the Canadians are going to win tonight.
You think they're going to lose? All right.
Yeah.
I'll bet you $100. I'll give you odds, 3-1 odds. So you win 300, I win one.
No, thank you. Right. I already put all my money in points bet.
You did. All right. Who do we got? The Hawks and the Blackhawks, or the Knights and the Blackhawks next?
I think Vegas is going to win. It's going to be a little too little too late. They're finally going to get this win that they needed so bad, but I don't think it's going to matter.
I think they continue the trend of just laying an egg in a very important game. Did Jack Eichel get any points last night, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. Probably not. They're going to lose in a shootout tonight. That's what
I was going to say. Thank you for stealing my thunder. I'm taking the Hawks in the shootout. We got the Coyotes Stars next. You got to take the Stars. Coyotes are already on vacation. They're gone. I don't even think they can ice a full team.
Jack Eichel did get an assist last night.
Nice. Second assist. Meaningless game. All right. I'm taking the Stars. You got the Stars over the Oats for sure.
Yeah.
Tim, come on. Kings cracking. Double special case. Who do you got?
Kings move on.
I'm taking the Kraken just because I think the Kings are in. Maybe they might not, you know, be fully there. Maybe dress the backup. Who knows? I'm taking the Kraken for the W. Lock it in. I'm going to get at least 3 of the 5. Tim might get 4 of the 5 if that's possible. But anyways, everybody, we will not talk to you on Friday. I'm going to Buffalo to catch their home finale versus the Hawks. They're flying in the big guns to try to get the fans to re-up the season ticket total. So big guys going to Buffalo. It's going to be a blast. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. We'll do a little playoff preview. I love some playoff preview. I go deep. I deep dive in the playoff preview. So we'll get to that on Monday. We'll recap all the exciting games. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will catch you later. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.